wonderful Cindy is going to come and share a word with us today, which we're so excited about. So welcome, Cindy.
Tēnā rā tātou katoa, Atamarie, Morena, ko Cindy Ruakere takungwa no Taranaki Ahau, no Ngā Motu, e noho ana. For those of you that don't know, my name is Cindy and I'm from here, from Taranaki. Been away a few years and have just coming up a year that I've been home Yes, and I'm very happy about that. But I wanted to start with that waiata because I feel like it's a waiata for the moment. So if we could just put up the English translation. So a lot of you would probably have heard it at different times, perhaps. Even if you don't know the words, you'll be familiar with the tune. And so this is what the song actually means. And the writer, I think his name was, I'll get the name, but he composed this waiata because there was a lot of division that seemed to be happening amongst a certain group, and he wrote the waiata to remind the people to come back together. So it says, line up together, all of us, all of us. Stand in rows, all of us, all of us. Seek after knowledge and love of others, everyone. Think as one, act as one, all of us, all of us. All of us, all of us. Tū tērā mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Tū tērā mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Whai a te maramatanga, me te aroha. I ngā iwi ki a kota pata i ki a kota i rā, tātou tātou e. So I'm just going to take us through through the words and tēnā koe. Just to slow it down because there's a couple of tongue twisters there. So, tū tērā mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Tū tērā mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Whai ā te māramatanga. Me te aroha, e ngā iwi. Kia ko tapatahi, kia ko tapatahi, kia ko tahi rā, tātou tātou e. Tū tērā mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Tū tērā mai ngā iwi, tātou tātou e. Whai a te maramatanga, me te aroa. I ngā iwi ki a kota pata i ki a kota i rā, tātou tātou e. Tātou tātou e. I thought that was a really appropriate way to start as I come into this message today. And I only found out when I saw it up that it's Evangelism Sunday. So this is my Evangelism Sunday scripture for you. So Scotty, if you could put this up, please. So this is from John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That's the way the world is going to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's my evangelism message for the day. The way that the world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord is by the way that we love one another. And I have been deeply concerned at the lack of love that there has been amongst Te Hahi o Aotearoa. So this message that I share today comes with a great love, but it comes with an energy and a passion that I have because I love the church. I have a great love for her, but I believe that the representation of the bride of Christ at the moment is failing because we're not showing or showcasing the love for one another so that the world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And things need to change. And it starts with us. It starts with us. Kanohi ki te kanohi, face to face in our conversations. And it starts with us, the way that we spread our thoughts or ideas or opinions on social media. So this is a word that the Lord has recently given me, and so I've been sharing it around as I've been doing little bits of travelling. Not as much now because, you know, we're in uncertain times. But the foundation of my message today comes from a place of kia tau te rangi Mārie. My peace I leave with you. Kia tau te rangi Mārie, or being settled in the place of peace, being at a place of tau, being settled. Kia tau te rangi Mārie, be settled in that place of peace today. For some of you that remember our kuia, Auntie Taki, she taught me a song many years ago. Like honey in the rock, sweet honey in the rock, for he tastes like honey in the rock. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, for he tastes like honey in the rock. Isn't that beautiful? We remember our auntie today, and I was so grateful for her. That she was the reason that I stayed at City Life, and which the Lord knew would become the place, the foundation for me to be built up and discipled and to grow, and then to be released from this place to serve the nation and the nations. So I'll be forever grateful to our auntie. But that was the song that she taught me on her ukulele many, many years ago, 30 plus years ago. And the Lord has been speaking to me about honey and the necessity of this time to have honey on our lips. Because the contrast that the world will know what we're carrying in the spirit is going to be by the kōrero that comes out of our mouth, out of our waha. The honey that is the sweetness of our kōrero will be the contrast of how they will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in Deuteronomy 32:13, he said, He made him ride on the heights of the land and fed him with the fruit of the fields. He nourished him with honey from the rock. And there's honey that the Lord is wanting to rise up within us. Remember that it says out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. And out of that living water is supposed to flow the sweetness and the gift of this honey that he wants to give and place upon our tongue, upon our lips, out of our mouth. It is sweetness that will draw people. Not having a right opinion. Not being right. It's sweetness. It's the sweetness of our kōrero that will draw and attract people. Not the way that we show we stand for something or don't stand for something. Our behaviour, both one-on-one and on social media, will decide the way that people will respond to Christ. Not to us, but to Christ. Because we are called to be the image of Christ in the land, before each other, in front of our families, in front of our children. And I want to share a dream with you that I had on the 18th of October. I believe it's a part two to a dream that I had in July. I'm a dreamer. That's the way the Lord speaks to me. And I won't share the first dream because I believe that this dream will speak for itself. But in the dream, I was driving along a track in the Ngahere, in the bush. And it was my car, but I was a passenger. And I was sitting in the passenger seat, and the man that was driving the car, some of you might know him. His name is Paul Cody, and I believe that Paul represented God the Father because he has a real father's heart. So the picture was that God was driving the waka, and I was in the passenger seat. But the thing was, it's the car was driving backwards, and he wasn't looking in the rear vision mirror or looking behind him. We were sitting like we were, like you would sit in a car going forwards, but we were driving backwards. It was on a track in the bush, so we were driving for the right speed as you would for a track in the bush. It felt odd, but I didn't feel afraid. And that was pretty much the dream. Now, I knew it was from the Lord. I woke up and I thought, man, that was pretty out the gate. But I knew it was the Lord, and so I prayed. And a couple of days later, I suddenly remembered, and I've preached this here, Jeremiah 29:11. Does anyone remember what that is? For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Does anyone remember what I talked about from that scripture? Anybody? Yep, that word future in Hebrew is the word acharit. Acharit is to go forward while looking backwards. Now, Jeremiah was talking to the children of Israel because they were about to go into exile. And he said to them, don't look at your future. You're about to go into this. You're going to be there 70 years. You're going to have to go in there trusting in God, and the only way that you'll be able to trust in God is to look back at what he's done, because you can't look to the future because it'll be too terrifying for you and your hearts will fail. So go forward. There is a future in your hope, but the way that you're going to remind yourself of that is by looking backwards at what he has done. Ka mua, ka muri. It's a understanding, that a Māori understanding of time. We think time is 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And the Māori understanding, mātauranga, is time is not linear. Time is like the wā, is space and time all wrapped up together. And that wakatauki is to look to the past to inform the future, which is very much in line with the Hebraic way of understanding time. Go forward while looking backwards. And it suddenly just made sense to me that in that dream, we were driving backwards, but we were looking to the past. We were looking where we'd just been. And I felt like the Lord said to me, you can't see what's going on at the moment. It's like the sea after a big storm. It's churned up, it's murky, there's debris everywhere. We can't see what's going on, but he can. We have to trust the driver right now. And if we try and figure it out ourselves, if we try and get up in arms and go, you know, I'm sorry I'm going to say it, it's like we have our rights. We actually don't have rights. According to my understanding of the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, we are called to lay down our life, lay down our rights, lay down what our expectation of how the future should be for the church and for us as Christians. According to my understanding of what Jesus said, the one that who leads us, our Messiah, he said, live by my example. And what was his example? He laid down his life. He didn't pick it up. And even when people came after him, and one of his disciples chopped off the enemy's ear, what did Jesus say? Far be it from him to allow that sort of behavior to happen. And what did he do? He picked up the ear and he stuck it back on the man's on the shoulders of soldier's side of his head. Is that not the type of behavior that we're supposed to follow? I've been so concerned about what I'm seeing because at the moment regarding the church, because I don't believe from my understanding, and if I'm wrong, please, I will repent publicly. I will apologize publicly if this is wrong and I haven't understood what I believe is happening at this moment. And so that dream was a confirmation to me that we can't see what's going on and we can't try and figure it out ourselves. We have to trust the one who we have given authority over our lives. We have to trust the one whom we have given authority over our future. Amen. We have to trust him, and all he's asking us to do, and we talked about that this morning, is to remind ourselves of what he has done. Remind ourselves of his faithfulness, of his promises, and the way that he's come through time and time and time again. And that the way that he rose up on our behalf, that's all we have to do. Keep stirring that up in our wairua. That is the way that we are to behave at this time. Not trying to figure out the future. The future will take care of itself because God is ultimately in charge. Yes. Yes. We have to lay down our perception of what we think it should look like. So that dream. You know, a lot of people are talking about this as the last days. I just want to lay it out there, and I know I shared this last time, because it's a continual narrative that's going on. Apocalypse doesn't mean zombies. Apocalypse doesn't mean meteors coming out of the sky and destroying the whole planet. Apocalypse is a Greek word that means reveal or revelation. You know, the last book of the Bible, the apocalypse of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus, not of future events, but we've turned it into this. You know, that somehow we've been given the rights to the secret codes, that we're able to decode revelation because we've got inside information. Again, that doesn't come from the place of humility and the one that I serve and follow. Because it was never about having a greater revelation. That's Gnosticism. It's not about us thinking we're better than others because we've got inside information. I believe every generation believed that they were in the last days. I mean, we can go right back to Paul and Peter. You know, it's happening soon, 2,000 years later. We can think back to the bubonic plague. Hundreds of thousands of people dying. Them shutting off whole portions of cities and burning it, whether people were still alive in there or not. Even more recently, the First World War. The flu epidemic. The Spanish flu epidemic of 1918, killing 50 million people. Man, that looks like the last days to me. The Second World War, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Vietnam War, Etamir, Tamir, Tamir, on and on and on, every generation. It's not up to us to figure out whether we're in the last days or not, so that we can get inside information, so we can store up our can of beans. You know, even in the 80s, I just want to go back to that. You know, in the 80s, Jesus was coming shortly. Don't get an education. Don't buy a house. It's all about saving souls. And those that decided to go to university were frowned on. Those that became missionaries were looked up to, because Jesus was coming back at any moment. Barry Smith was writing about the rapture, and he was decoding Revelation. And this is 35 years later. We've got to pull back from trying to figure out and trust the one that we love and the one that we follow. Trust that he knows the future. We just got to keep looking back at what he has done and the promises that he's fulfilled on our behalf. Yes. That's the only position that we need to be in at the moment. You know, in Revelation 1, verse 9, John talks about him being in the place of tribulation and the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ. And it talks about that he says, I was on the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? When you announce the word of God, like what you did this morning, when you shared that testimony, whenever you announce the word of God or share or give a testimony of Jesus, you are resisting Babylon. Babylon is the spirit of the world that wants to try and do it itself. That's the spirit of Babylon. You are resisting the narratives that say the kingdoms of this world actually run the show, that they have the final say and that they're really in charge. To give a testimony about Jesus is to resist the kingdoms of this world by telling the story of God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as sharing the testimony of Jesus, sharing what he has done, not rising up in anger wanting our rights, but laying down our rights. And the testimony of Jesus coming out of our mouths like honey on our lips is what will turn the whole thing around, is what will turn the way that the world looks at the church at the moment. The world looks at the church in mockery and scorn. And not because we are fools for Christ, because we're just fools. I might not get to be asked to speak anywhere ever again. But we have to understand. We have to understand the times that we're living in, and the times that we're living in is not to rise up, but to lay down. The times we're living in is if they come and hit you on the cheek, you turn your other cheek. The times we're living in, if they want to come and take your cloak, you give them your other one. The times we're living in is to lay down, not to rise up. We need to understand that this apocalypse is not the apocalypse of decoding what is going on at the moment. This apocalypse is revealing actually what's in the church at this time. What is being revealed, what is just under the surface. That is the apocalypse of Jesus Christ that's happening right now. And, you know, he said, in Matthew 11:29, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have hidden. That word is blah, blah, and it means cryptic. He has made this revelation cryptic to those that are not searching from their hearts but are searching from their minds. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned. You've made it cryptic to the wise and the learned. You have apocalypsed them to little children. Yes, you are pleased to do this. Everything's been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to apocalypse him. We have to come to a place of humility. And I'm speaking to you out there this morning in Zoom land. You know, like part of our, I believe that part of our issue as charismatic Pentecostal tradition is that we felt that we had some greater knowledge or information or some greater interpretation of truer interpretation of Scripture than others. We othered them because we got the true revelation. That's not from a place of humility, which is the foundation, I believe, of the way we're supposed to live our lives as followers of Christ, the one who taught us to walk in humility and to lay down our lives. I don't believe that we've handled Scripture with humility. In some ways, we've handled it with pride and arrogance, and we need to repent for that. I need to repent for that. When I first came to faith, I was told that we had an elevated understanding of Scripture. And I had a friend that went to another denomination, and I was told clearly that not really to engage with them because, you know, that they had a wrong theology. He was my brother. He served and loved the same Jesus that I served and loved. We got to wake up to this. Now is the time. Ko tēnei te wā. If only I had known what I was talking about when I wrote that song, Ko tēnei te wā, because I tell you, it's right now. Now is the time. The apocalypse is upon us, and it's revealing us. It's revealing us. It's exposing what's just under the surface. Jesus' true identity is an apocalypse or a revelation. He revealed himself to a close-knit group of people so that they would apocalypse Jesus to the rest of the world. The apocalypse is not the end of the world, but the revealing of Jesus' true identity. Who is he? Yes, he is coming as the soon and coming king. Yes, he is riding in triumph, conquering and to conquer. But that's not our place. That's his place. Our place is to lower ourselves, humble ourselves. What? Like little children. That's how the apocalypse, the revelation of who Jesus is, comes. Not by having all the revelation and the decoding, but by the humility of loving Jesus, loving one another, and showing that love to those that do not know Christ. That's the apocalypse that we're searching for. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will and your kingdom be apocalypse, is what you're saying, revealed. Right here in our midst, the rest of the Lord's Prayer is aiming me to go help bring it about in faith and forgiveness and endurance. But the beginning of that is the revelation, the apocalypse of who our Father is in heaven. And holy is his name. Prophecy is less about what's going to happen in the future and more about calling things as they are in the present. It is to see the world from a heavenly perspective. We call ourselves a prophetic community. Yes, it is about the encouraging of people about that which is not yet, like that dream I had. But in the dream, the prophetic wasn't in looking forward, it was in looking back. That was the promise, and trusting that he will guide us. That's where I want to hold my place in the prophetic, as a prophetic person, holding my place, being toe in that place. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I just want to finish with a waiata. This is written by Aaron Hardy. And I sing it as an encouragement to you. We'll put the words up. And when you feel that you want to enter into the words of this waiata, I ask you to join me, and you can respond in whatever way you want. You know, if this I know this word has been pretty impacting, but we have to see change. We have to see change in Te Ahi o Aotearoa. And it starts with us. It starts with us coming in that genuine place of humility. And if you want to respond, please respond. If you want to get on your knees, if you want to come up the front, if you want to go to a brother or a sister and ask them to pray for you in humility. No mai, no mai. You go before me and I'm not afraid. Your goodness and mercy all of my days. Let not your hearts be troubled. My peace I leave. Let not your hearts be troubled. My peace I leave. My peace I leave. My peace I leave. My peace I leave, my peace I leave. Kia tau, kia tau, kia tau te rangi Māori, kia tau. Kia tau te rangi Māori e. You go before me and I'm not afraid. Your goodness and mercy all of my days. Let not your hearts be troubled, my peace I leave. Let not your hearts be troubled, my peace I leave. 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 Kia tau, kia tau, kia tau te rangi Māori e. Kia tau, kia tau te rangi Māori e. Kia tau. Kia tau te rangi Māori e. Kia tau, kia tau te rangi Māori e. let's just stand as we come to a close. And if you feel you need to respond, respond. We'll sing this through a couple more times. And then I bless you. I bless you as you go forth. As you go forward in that place. Being settled in the place of peace. Kia tau te rangi Māori. You go before me and I'm not afraid. Your goodness and mercy all of my days. Let not your hearts be troubled. My peace I leave. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. My peace I leave.